Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, April 9th, 2011, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki, or Ea. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. The seed that Enki planted, deep within human DNA, has awakened. The sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, has begun to assert its sovereign right to stand as equals among the peoples of conscience. Now begins the new paradigm, one based on truth and sovereign responsibility. Welcome, humankind. New Eridu has been waiting for you.
Sovereigns, and thank you for spending your Saturday evening in New Eridu, and of course a special thank you to the archives listeners. Today is a special show. A little bit later we're going to be joined by Dixie, who is also known as Dream Child, on her Blog Talk Radio show on the Gold Ring Risa channel, and she's got a whole basket of goodies to talk to you about with the earth changes and the energies that have been incoming and some of the things that we can do to find our way through this little learning exercise we have going on right now. I have a question for the chat room already, and this is for the chat room, not from the chat room. Somebody said, nice picture, Ketter, reminds me of the pasture, and I am really curious what it is that you're seeing, because I didn't upload a picture that should remind anybody of a pasture. And, of course, we know that Blog Talk Radio has just changed their interface, so if it's doing something strange, I'd like to know it, because the next time it might not be a pasture, it might be something a little scarier. So, anyway, if you could post in there, let me know what it is you're actually seeing, or send me a screenshot later offline. That would be a great thing if you could do that for me. This has been quite a week. It has really and totally been an amazing experience. The energies that are incoming right now, the events that are unfolding on the world stage, it just feels like you cannot possibly run fast enough. And believe me, I actually can't, so don't try. I'll tell you what I've been doing is I've just kind of been turning away from the mainstream media. It has just been too much, and so much of it is disinformation, and so much of it is agenda-driven that you have to just sort of check out from it and take the step back and listen to the truth that comes bubbling up from the silence. And then you'll know where you need to put your attention. And I found myself checking my news feeds quite a lot less often than I usually do. Simply because it occurred to me that the news channels are probably controlled too. The people that own all of that scientific instrumentation that's sending us all of these scary-looking pictures and signals and stuff, who owns those? Yeah, okay. Not you and me. So it's big institutions and institutions that are likely to be co-opted. I mean, if you look at what has happened in the biological sciences over the last few years, the number of microbiologists that have met untimely and unusual ends over the last decade is just staggering. They don't want the sciences to tell the truth about what's going on. You look up in the sky and you see things changing that you never remember seeing changed before, and you know, I'm assuming that most of us aren't completely stupid, that we remember what the skies used to look like. We remember what color it used to be. We remember what the clouds used to look like. We remember what the stars used to look like and how slowly they would change their locations and their brightness and what they, when they were twinkling, what they looked like when they twinkle. Well, do any of those things look the same anymore? They don't to me. And I don't think that my eyes have gotten that bad, so I think it's I think we've got some real changes going on around us. And I would say that even if I didn't have any reason to believe it otherwise, my senses would still be telling me the same things. So just look around you and see what the Earth has to tell you, because the Earth has a lot of information for you still. She's still our best teacher and our first teacher and our most accessible teacher. So just consider that when you're wondering what's really going on. Are the animals in your area acting right? Are they going about their business pretty much as usual, or have they changed their patterns? Or are they missing? That will tell you a lot. That'll tell you a good bit about where you need to be. That'll tell you a good bit about, you know, what changes you may see coming. And don't listen to the fear-mongering. And I know I got in trouble on another venue not too long ago about saying don't listen to the fear-mongering. There's a difference between a steady stream of information that's scary and awful and the dissemination of legitimate information. It doesn't need to be repeated every time it makes a headline. if it's not new information, it does not need to be, you know, all day, all night news. If you want to watch CNN, you can get that. But it gets to be too much, and you get overloaded. And you might, because you're overloaded, miss a real genuine sign of something that's changed that you need to know. You cannot go through this particular time period living in fear, because this is the time period that we have to open ourselves up, and we have to learn how to love and to accept and to see things differently. And as long as we're in fear, we're going to be closed in tight, and we're going to be defensive, and we're going to be pushing people away. And we're going to be concentrating on me, 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 and reinforcing that scarcity paradigm that the powers that pretend have used over us for so long. So whatever threshold that you have for information, learn at what point it becomes too much for you. And try not to move beyond that point. I know when something comes on the news and it's horrible, like today there was a shooting over in the Netherlands, and a guy walked into a shopping mall and killed 5 people, and then he killed himself. You know, that's going to be playing on the news for the next several days, because it's blood and guts, and there's a part of the brain that's referred to as the reptilian brain, and the reptilian brain is always on the lookout for the threat, always on the lookout for the danger, always on the lookout for the most awful thing it can find. That part of the brain can literally hypnotize the rest of the brain. When it gets engaged on the scary thing, the rest of your cognition pretty much shuts down. Have you ever seen a snake mesmerizing a small animal, particularly a bird? You can actually mesmerize smaller animals by using something that is so terrifying to them, deer in the headlights kind of stuff. They just freeze. They shut down. People do it too. It's a little more subtle when people do it. The cognition is still sort of there, but it's like the volition goes away. You're so engaged in watching the show in front of you and feeling the horror and feeling the sympathy, etc., that you're not paying attention to the rest of the stuff that's going on around you. And you're not acting on the things that you need to act on during that time period. So that puts you further behind. So this is a control tool that can be used against us. Not always is it. Sometimes the news is just the news. But if you spend all of your time paying attention to it, you're going to miss stuff that's important, because most of the things that really are going to matter are going to come through your community, your family, and your natural surroundings, and the silent spaces that you create for yourself when you meditate and you go within and you listen to your higher self and to Source. So make sure that you wean down your diet of what's going on in the world to only what you really need to know, and back away from the fear and find your place of peace. So that's my advice to you on that. Couple of items from the news this week. There was a news article. It was reported in the Huffington Post about a strong gamma signal that came in from deep outer space. We're talking like 30 million light years. It was unusual in not only its strength, but also its duration. That thing has been going, it went for 3 days very, very strongly, and it has been flaring ever since. It has never stopped. Now, most gamma ray outbursts only last a few seconds. Literally, by the time they've had a chance to slew the instruments around to take a look at them, they're already pretty much gone. So this is most highly unusual what has happened. I find it even more interesting that this particular phenomena occurred in the constellation of Draco. And as I think some of us are starting to figure out, the names of the constellations aren't coincidence. Each of them has a hidden meaning, a meaning buried in ancient knowledge, knowledge of maybe who came from there, or what may have occurred there. And the reason that the constellations don't really particularly look like, you know, the bull doesn't look that much like a bull. And, you know, if you really kind of stretch it, Orion does sort of look like a guy. But it, they just don't look that much like what they say they are. And people go, oh, well, that's because all these stars must have burned out. Not in that length of time. Stars live for millions and millions and millions of years. All right? Not that many stars would have burned out in the length of time since the constellations were named. Unless they were named a very, very much longer ago than we thought it were. So, anyway, just another coincidence there. It seems like it's not coincidental, because that was the constellation that was associated with the battle of Marduk and Tiamat way back when. And it is interesting at this time period that the light of that conflict, if I am correct, that's actually what I'm looking at with this thing. It's interesting that the light of that conflict would just now be reaching Earth, and that it would be reaching Earth at this time. So, file another one under likely not a coincidence. Because, guess what? We're still working through the karma from that. And, so it has definitely joined us as something to work through. Now, speaking about working through that karma, something that I had talked about last week on my show was that I had had a lesson in where I still had some ego, where I still had some misplaced ego. And I had a little yank on the heartstrings with that one, because I had to let go of some things I had been working on and had high hopes for a very long time, because it became apparent that it was better for other people to be doing those things and that I should just let them and find something else to do. So that was my lesson in ego. Now, other people are getting their own lessons in ego right now, and some of those are not going to be very pleasant. In fact, I can guarantee you that anytime the ego is involved and there's a lesson that's directed to the ego, it's not going to be very pleasant. For that reason, I'm going to classify this as possibly one of the most dangerous phases, pre-ascension phases, that we're going to be going through. Let me qualify dangerous. Dangerous not because of what's happening, but because of how people may react to it, particularly those who aren't really awake enough to understand what's happening. The potential for violence is there. The potential for just plain being hurtful and nasty is there. The potential of dragging others into situations that they really don't have anything to do with is there. Misery loves company, after all. For that reason, you need to be looking both within and around you to see if someone that you know, or if you yourself, may be going through one of these ego lessons. Now, some of us aren't going to have any problems with this because we have our egos in the right place. We are in the right relationship with that part of us. Now, understand that ego is necessary. Ego is really necessary because ego is what keeps us separate from the collective that is Source. And it allows us to be able to act independently from that collective. If we didn't have that separation, we would not be effective agents for Source in this phase of our being. So we need to have that ego. But ego is reconstructed from second to second. It's born and it dies from moment to moment. And the only way that it can maintain itself in that awakened and alive state is if it attaches to something outside of itself. Now, some of these things, attachments, some of these attachments it forms are very healthy. We attach ourselves to a spiritual path. That way we are pulling ourselves towards that return to the oneness, return to our full level of being, and we are perhaps showing the way to others if they choose to observe us. Not necessarily follow us, but just to observe us. They see our methodology, and then they can recreate it for themselves as is appropriate for them. But sometimes we attach it to other things. One very important thing to understand about psychology is that no one ever acts on anything other than a positive motivation. So let's say that someone has a positive motivation. They feel very protective to what they believe in. And they feel powerful when they are acting in that role of protector. They can get attached to that role and feel the need to exercise it all the time, even when it isn't appropriate. Sometimes it can become almost like an addiction. They get the high off of winning the fight, of being the protector and successfully protecting. They get that high off of it, and then they want to do it again. And what if there's nothing to protect against? They may manufacture one. They may come up with something that they believe is a target for that, and it really isn't. And that's just one example. There are others. People can get attached to wealth the same way. They can mistake the rush that they get from making a successful business deal for, you know, they get addicted to it. And they may mistake it for being a real thing, a real accomplishment. So, just something to think about as you go through your life. Look around and see who's attached to stuff. And how are they maybe coming unattached? And where can you expect there to be some backlash? Because some of these people are going to be served a very hard lesson. And they are going to react. And it's just like you poke somebody with a red-hot poker, they're going to jump. And if you're in the way, you're probably going to get kicked. So just think about that. And be thinking also of your own self, where you might have that happen. And how can you protect yourself and the others around you as you go through that lesson? So I do believe that we have Miss Dixie with us. And I'm going to try to open her up here. It's not helping. There we go. Dixie. Okay.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm sorry. I am having a little trouble trying to figure out. Hold on. I'm trying to turn off the. Okay. Hello?
Are you there?
Yes.
I can
okay.
hear you.
Okay. Sorry. I had to mute the other player. There we go. Hello, everyone. I made it. Yay.
Well, you're very welcome here, and I understand that you have had a week of your own.
Oh, my goodness. It's been, I think it's almost been coming up on two weeks now. It's crazy. You know, it's funny how you get going in these energies and feeling really great, moving along and, you know, doing awesome and getting really high on it, you know, and going with the flow and everything. And the universe is speaking to me and, you know, everything's just flowing and coming in. And then all of a sudden it's like the brakes get put on.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, you're like, whoa, and everything comes to a screeching halt. And that has kind of been my experience over the past couple weeks. And it was interesting because it really kind of goes with the astrology of what's going on right now, too, with the retrograde and everything. So, but what I found is that last week I had several things presented to me again that I have had to deal with previously. And I'm actually very surprised at myself how well I've dealt with that. I had issues with my vehicle. And every time I took it to the mechanic, he kept calling me saying something else was wrong and something else was wrong, and there kept being new things wrong with it, and I had to rent a car because my job that I do requires me to travel to my clients' houses. And so it was a little what you would call stressful, because I have to pay money out to use a vehicle to do my work, and you know, it kind of eats away at everything. But this is interesting for me, because that's something in the past that I've had huge problems with. I've blown, and you probably laugh at this, but I've blown 5 car engines. Yes, 5. So, and amongst many other repairs, and every time it happened, I got very, very upset. Very upset. And, you know, to the point of crying and lashing out at people who were with me, and lashing out at the repair people. And it was like a whole other side of Dixie that you don't get to see that often. So, it's this time I did very well with that all. I just kept thinking to myself, I just had this feeling of everything's going to be okay. You know, I kept saying that everything's going to be okay, provided for me. You know, I kept doing my affirmations. And not 5 and 2 weeks. Sorry, I just saw somebody said 5 and 2 weeks. That was over a couple years. Anyways, I kept doing the affirmations, and, you know, everything's going to be okay. And in the meantime, I was enjoying driving rental cars because they're all brand new. Are you still there, Ketter?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I am. I got kicked
okay.
off.
Okay.
You guys dumped me.
Okay. I know, it was quiet there. Okay. So, yeah, so what I did was I just had fun with what was going on. So these rental cars, you know, they're brand new. You know, you drive your car for a long time. It's always fun to get into a new car. And the last one that I had over the last 3 days was a brand new Charger, 2011 Charger. So I was, you know, those cars like to be driven fast.
That sounds like trouble.
Yeah, I know. But I, you know what I did? I said to myself, well, I'm in this predicament and I have to deal with it, so I might as well have fun, right? You know, it's not, there's no point in getting upset about it because it just is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I've been waiting a week and a half for parts, and because my car is not even really drivable. It's actually a danger to drive it right now. So, yeah, but what ended up happening was it turned out because the parts were some of the things that need to be done for recall, and some of the things were under warranty. So I didn't came from thinking I was going to have to spend, you know, $600-$800 to only a couple hundred, a few hundred dollars. So that was a big difference, and I felt really, really good and stable through all of that. And so that was that, and that's still going on. I'm still waiting for my car to be fixed. So I think I'm handling that pretty good. But and then my daughter got sick, and that was another fear of mine. You see, the car issue is a fear because without my car, I feel like I can't do my job, and I can't get where I need to go. I really rely heavily on that. So that's a fear for me, you could say. And then the next thing was my daughter got really sick, and that's another fear for me, you know, just want my children to be healthy. And she ended up getting an ear infection and a perforated eardrum, and there was all kinds of mess, and I was trying to use homeopathics, and then we ended up having to go to the walk-in clinic, which I avoid as much as possible. I avoid doctors as much as possible, and, you know, we had to go anyways and get antibiotics, and now she's starting to heal up, so I remained very calm through all of that as well. And that's also something I used to get upset about when my kids were sick. It would really stress me out. So centered, level, you know, looking at it. And there was a couple days there, and I think other people may be feeling this too, where I had headaches. I had headaches for 4 days, which is strange for me now. And I just felt lost. I felt lost. I was like, Sam looked at me one night and he said, "You look like you don't know what to say or do or think right now." And I was like, yeah, that's about it. I really was in that spot for a little while and came through that. And what I realized is that these are all just that same old, these same old challenges. I see them. Now, I see them for what they are, and they've come back because it was time for me to prove that, you know, that I could get through them without reacting and without, you know, basically spazzing out like I used to. So I've done really well with that. I'm really pleased, and I'm really happy with myself. And I see that also in a lot of other people. A lot of challenges are being presented to people in all different areas, like, you know, my friends and family and people around me. And it's all about what, you know, our fears are and what we have to deal with. And, you know, it's those things will continue to come back to us. Until we can reach a point where we can recognize it and, you know, take responsibility for our feelings and our actions, and then, you know, basically retune ourselves is kind of what I'm thinking, you know, or reprogram ourselves to, you know, to be who we want to be. That's the thing, we're walking a path, and I know we're walking this together, and it's, you know, you kind of go, well, who do I want to be? Who am I? I know who I am, and I want to remain in that space. And, you know, so I do have to tell myself on a regular basis to remain there and do some, you know, do centering and you know, clearing of energy and just knowing that just knowing that we're all taken care of and that we're guided and, you know, we're on this path together and there is a purpose to everything. And it's in these times right now that it's so turbulent and on the micro and macro level with our world, you know, with the earthquakes and eruptions and weather and how all that is going, you know, is reflected in the world as it's reflected inside of us. And, you know, it's all, we're all clearing right now. And I guess I just want people to understand that, you know, these things that come at us, even though they seem really hard and you know, stressful at the time, it's like it's our best time for growth. It's the best time for us to take the chance to reflect inside of ourselves and see what's going on, you know, what is causing the issues, because it's you know, kind of like you got to do it now. It's time to do it now. Time's getting short, wouldn't you say?
I think time is definitely getting short. I believe that our DNA is being rewritten. I think science has actually showed that when the environment changes, an organism, a living organism, can rewrite its DNA code, and that we are in an environment that is changing, not just a physical environment, but also an energetic and spiritual environment that is different. And for that reason, I believe we are undergoing a tremendous process of change. And, you know, I look at it this way, embrace the change. Don't fight it. Go with the flow. And
right.
We're all going to be okay. We're all going to ascend together. It's all going to happen the way it needs to happen. Source is not going to abandon us to, you know, whatever nastiness that some may have planned. It's just not going to go down that way.
Right.
And I feel very sad for those who feel so strongly invested in the old paradigm that they see this as a threat, because it's not, because what's coming is so much better, and they will be so much happier then. I had a phenomenal conversation a while back regarding what you would call evil. And I'm putting that in little quotes because I don't like that term because it carries connotations I'm not trying to drag in here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a judgment thing. As I had said earlier, nobody ever acts from a position where they feel like they're doing something wrong. They're always acting from the position that they think they're doing the right thing and that they have a positive motivation. And I was sent a video, and I wish I could remember now who sent me the video, where there was a lady that was dissecting the idea of these powers that pretend and the stuff that they're doing. And she came up with the idea that what we really need to do is to give these beings what they want, because if we give them what they want, then they have no reason left to exist. And it occurred to me that what magic I have studied, when you're dealing with an entity that is a negative entity, that oftentimes what you do is that you find a way to give that thing what it wants without really giving it what it wants, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So that what it wants is no longer valid. Because when that is no longer valid, it has no longer has a reason to be around bothering you. Because it has to reinvent itself all the time. And again, that's a thing where you're attaching to this other thing. And without that attachment, they are not self-generating. These negative impulses are not self-generating. They have to suck off of something else. They're they're vampiric in energy and spiritual form. You take away that thing that they can draw energy off of and through that thing off of other living beings, and they dry up and go away. So
yeah.
that's kind of where I am right now. I'm looking at what do they really want from us? And I'm trying to discern at this point, what can we give them that will satisfy all of their requirements but leave us in the position that we need to be in to ascend and to heal all of the breaches that have occurred because of this fight of us versus them that has been going on for who knows how many millions of years now. Because it didn't start here.
Yeah.
We inherited it. Uh-oh. I think I got kicked off again. Did I get kicked off again or did Dixie get kicked off again? I think Dixie got kicked off this time. Please put a heart up in the chat room if you can hear me. I'm going to keep rolling. the deal with giving these negative entities what they want, that's not to say we agree with them, ever. All right? What they're doing is wrong. But it's not wrong because they're inherently something wrong. It's because they've got something out of place. They're meaning to do one thing, and it's usually based out of fear. For example, I'm sure Bernie Madoff didn't start stealing from people because he was simply a venal person. I believe he had a reason to want to do that. Who knows? Maybe he grew up poor. Maybe he was very afraid of becoming poor. Maybe he didn't want his children to suffer something that he had suffered. But how he manifested the wealth that he accumulated was what most of us would consider very evil. Well, that's because it was out of place. He was using his skills out of place. And I'm hoping that's Dixie again.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Skype's all messed up.
Yeah. It's been that way all day.
I called it on Skype retrograde instead of BTR Skype, so hopefully it'll hold on.
Okay. Anyway, I was just running my mouth. Feel free to return to what you were on about.
Well, you know, it's all about the fear, right? Feeding off of the fear.
Yeah.
That we were talking. Okay. And the thing is that I guess that's why we have to face our fears right now, is so that we can get over them. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if that's giving them what they want, but basically you have to go through that. You know, you have to go through a fear process to cleanse it. So maybe that will get to that point. And it, you know, when we start doing that on our own, then that comes into the, to the collective as well. But we have to remember, on top of all of that, is that we're still all one. I mean, we're all, you know, a part of each other, right? Even what you would call dark forces or whatever, it's still all part of the same thing. So
we all came from source, we're all returning to source.
Exactly. And so in the end, there's really nothing to fear. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I posted something on Facebook today, too. It just kind of came out of me this morning. I was just kind of like, I said, I'll always love you, no matter what. And that was my post. That was it. Just on my
status. Aww. And I like that.
And I put underneath in the comment, I'm talking to you. So it was anybody who read it would, you know, I'm talking to you, basically. And
oh, sweet.
I said that because, funny enough, I've said that to my children. Because when you have anger, right, or something happens that forces you into a position that you don't want to be in, you become angry. Or anger stems from the fear. So when you're in that, you know, how kids will challenge you, they have, what I found is that they feel like you're, you know, taking away love because they just don't understand. And I realized this at one point, and I said, you know, my daughter was quite clear about it. She asked me if I still loved her. And I was like, of course. And I said, I'll always love you no matter what. And she says that to me sometimes now too, which is funny. But Tammy had actually mentioned on there, she made a comment on it, and she said that she could imagine me telling my kids this. She said, I can also imagine you tenderly telling this to your sweet little girls when they've challenged you as a mommy. And, you know, she's a mom, so, and, you know, you're a mom, so, you know, we know these things. We know how it goes. And it clicked something in my head, and I said, you know, it is the experience of motherhood expressed in two simple lines. You know, just like that. I'll always love you no matter what. And she said, you know, the divine mother's message of grace expressed through you. And it just kind of came through that way, and it's true. And that's the way we have to know it, as in, you know, source or the divine mother and father, or the creator. You know, we're always loved no matter what. And if being that God always loves us no matter what, then in turn, we also should be at that point where we, you know, always love no matter what. And I suppose there's a difference between love and affection or getting along. You know what I mean?
Oh, you can love somebody and not get along with them.
Exactly, exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing. And I had a vision one night, and it kind of plays into this, but in a strange kind of way. I sometimes I get these when I'm in between the waking and sleep state. You know, you're laying in bed and you're starting to fall asleep, but you're not actually there. And I saw a river, and there was a bridge. But we weren't at the bridge. There was a boat, too. And I guess the boat was kind of like it was going to go across the river over the bridge. It was either or. There was a bridge or the boat. And there was a what you would call the boatman who was standing there. He was an old guy with, you know, curly gray hair and glasses and a checkered shirt on. It was the strangest looking, you know, strange person, but not somebody I recognized from my life. And he was standing there in the boat, and he's got his stick, like he's, you know, like the boatman crossing the river. And the boat is full of metal. And I looked down, and it was nuts and bolts, you know, how nuts and bolts fit together, right? And he said to me, he said, we are all the nuts and bolts in this life. You know,
Can I be a wingnut?
Yeah. Me too. You know, it's just what I got from it, because I opened my eyes immediately and I was like, it was just in my head, we are all the nuts and bolts. And I went, you know, you can't have, you have the nuts and you have the bolts, and they have to go together to hold whatever it is they're making. And then each of those things is put together to make a whole. You know, so it was kind of a funny way of saying, you know, it doesn't matter who we are or what we are, what we're doing at the time, we're all meant to be where we are. We're all supposed to do the things that we're doing and challenge each other in different ways, because if we weren't, then we wouldn't fit together like the nuts and bolts. You know, because how can you learn if you don't have the challenges? You know, and that's kind of how I took that. Because I had a feeling it had to do with that. Like, everybody's in their place. Even those, yep. Even the dark ones, and even, you know, somebody who's not awake at all, and, you know, or, you know, people who are out fighting wars and the politicians, who the greedy men and the banksters, they all have their place as part of the nuts and bolts that put everything together.
Yep. Very, very Stygian kind of passage there you're describing. It may not have been dark or scary, but the metaphor is very strong. And, yeah, I agree. It is that we are what holds the fabric of reality together. It is our thinking processes, our perceptions, our intentions, our manifestations that are the nuts and bolts of waking reality. So, and also of the collective subconscious that is the dream time. That's quite a profound dream that you had.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I get these ones, they're very interesting when they come at that particular moment in between dreaming and sleeping. So, and I always know because I open my eyes right away and it's like the message is in my head. But I knew, I knew there was a reason why, because this happened, that was not last week, I think the week before I had that. And I receive messages in, like, every day. I pick up, I perceive messages through the world and my experiences out there. And I had, there was that dream, and then I also had, kind of through the day, I had the message of trouble. Like, oh, trouble's coming. And I knew that something was going to happen because I'm always notified, you know, a day or two before it happens. And, you know, then bam.
Uh-oh.
Now we go again, you know. So, I think that's why I was shown that. It's kind of like, you know, you have to understand that it's okay and this is how it goes and, you know, just pay attention to what you're doing and move on. Move on from that that space of fear. Yeah.
You know, we talk about how we can move through fear and stuff. I came across something from my experiences this week. Because I handled things when things were going wrong, I handled them very differently than I have in the past. I've always had a great deal of difficulty with dealing with things such as personal rejections and such. It always is very fearful to me. But this time I came at it from a place of understanding. I was able to understand and react in real time to what was going on. So that I did never go into that fear.
Yeah.
And it was a very refreshing change, let me tell you. And I think it really gave me a lot of power over myself and over what my reaction was going to be. Because fear will take away your options so fast.
Yeah.
When you're in a place of fear, it's like your whole world narrows down and all your capabilities narrow down. And by not going into that fear, I was able to see the bigger picture of what was going on. I had way more options to pick from. So
that was
a phenomenal learning right there.
Yeah, it's like a new level, isn't it? It's like it's like you go, oh my gosh, I can actually do this now without getting all upset and getting freaked out, you know. And to feel that way after knowing the experiences that we've had in the past, you know, and other people see it too, because my ex is like, I'm telling him about the car and he's like looking at me, he's like, okay, calm, like he's trying to calm me down. I'm like, you know, I'm cool. I don't feel really bad about it like I would before. And that's the thing, was I the same experience. I just saw it and realized that I could deal with it differently, and it just, you know, it went so much smoother. Smoother, and then it goes through faster, too. But, you know, the tests, I said the tests are coming, and it's like, it's very, very intense, And so we have to be vigilant in that, in maintaining that aspect. Because we've learned so much, and so we need to put into practice what we've learned now, which is not always the easiest thing to do when you're in that space. But as long as you can recognize what's going on, then you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at a question here in the chat room from Dream Master. He says, I'd love to know what 50 entities messages has she I'm sorry, I can't read this. It's purple and my eyes aren't that good. I'd love to know what 50 entities messages have she being brought to her, if she could mention. What messages have you been receiving? I think he's asking.
Well, I'm just trying to think because I've had a few. I've had some prophetic dreams and visions recently that are coming, you know, have come true. And I'm just trying to think of a way to put that into words. Now here's the thing, and I wonder if that has something to do with it, is that I've been dreaming, and I know several other people have been dreaming about people from their past, like way back. Like I dreamt about somebody from grade school and other people, and I wonder if that has to do with, you know, those things from the past. Like basically we're just, right now, we're still in that same space of having to get through. You know, get through it, get over our fears, and you know, just move on from that. I wanted to read a little bit of that astrology report that I found, or that Azra posted, which was by what's her name, Lauren.
Oh, Lauren.
Lauren.
Borgo.
Yeah, because and this kind of says it all, because we're, you know, because we're all interconnected, like absolutely everything. This blew me away when I started reading this, and it just goes to show you that despite what anybody else might say, the way the planets move and the energies and whatnot really do affect us, and they affect us deeply, deep down inside, and we need to be aware of that. And so what she's saying here, I just read a couple of paragraphs from it. The equinoxes are never an easy time, but this most recent integration period may have felt especially oppressive. We've also had to be extra vigilant so as not to get attached to the energies of anxiety, depression, frustration, and hopelessness that have been haplessly splashing around in the ethers, each independently vying for attention. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the fear of the, you know, the nuclear plant and, you know, the weather and the earthquakes and everything, because that's been all over the place. And she says, in March, we could definitely feel pressure building. No doubt we were being stretched to our full capacity, both in our personal lives and in the collective. The universal slingshot was slowly pulling us back, preparing to launch us into our new lives. We could hear the squeaking of the elastic band around us, stretched to its maximum potential. And then, just as we were mentally prepared to be flung into the stratosphere, snap! The elastic broke and we fell flat in the mud, and that's exactly how we felt. Compliments of Saturn with a side of Mercury retrograde, which is always, you know, fun for us. And she says, ring, ring, Mother, Father God is calling again, this time to say, psych, yep, we fell off the ride again. And it can only mean one thing, time to go within again. That's the key. Go. It doesn't matter what your challenge is, who you're dealing with, what's going on around you, it's all inside of you. That's the key. That's what you have to deal with. And that's what we're having to do right now. She says, on one level, we're so ready to turn our energy outwards, and I'm sure that other people are feeling this too, that we were wearing out the carpet with our pacing, yet we are simultaneously so tired of being a sloppy mess. inwardly we are warriors, no doubt. But what good is all that inner strength and mastery if we still can't even make it to the post office without a nap? Never mind, just breathe for the moment. We are still in the birth canal, heaving through the swells of contractions in preparation to give birth to our new selves. It hurts, but the pressure and discomfort is the precipitating force needed to launch us into our new lives. And I really feel that, too. And I think that's why it's gotten so much more intense and closer together. Like, I finally, I've deciphered my kind of energetic wave. And several, you know, a lot of us are on the similar wave. And some people are on the opposite wave. You know, it just depends on who you are, what you've been through, and your kind of astrology is. And the closer these challenges get to each other, the closer we're getting to that point where we are going to step into our new lives. And I keep getting the message that, you know, hold on to that faith, because that is going to happen. We are going to go to a point where the energy is going to shift, as it always does, and it's going to push us through into that higher perspective, you know, that higher self awareness, and it is going to happen, and we need to hold that and not forget or get sucked into the fear or get sucked into the challenges or the, you know, the dramas, because that's what the universe is trying to do. It's saying, I'm going to suck you in, and if you don't hold on to your, you know, what you know to be true, then you're going to have to keep repeating it. It will continue to come back to you either way. So I've kind of, I guess, reached a point where with all the news and propaganda and everything, I'm just like, yeah, I can see what's going on there, but what can I do? What can I do about all of this, about radiation and all that? There's only so many things that we can do, and I'm doing what I can. And then I just have to let it be, you know, and move on with my own self. And I had a friend tell me a while back, I was talking about how I was going through these challenges again, and I have to work on myself. I'm always working and working, you know, I'm working to make myself better. And he said, hey, you know what? You're making more work for yourself by doing that. He's right. He's right, because he said, you've done all the work. You've already done the work, and you just need to let it be. And what I would call roll with the punches as they come, you know, you've done the work, and that situation is going to be presented to you again so that you can prove that you've done the work. It's like exam time. And I know I posted on Facebook the other day, are we at midterms or exams? Because I really hope we're at exams instead of midterms. Are you still there?
Yep. So okay. I think you're on a roll. I was letting you go with it. The blog that you were reading from, that's Lauren Gorgo's blog, and I'm not remembering the URL right now to give that in the chat room. But if you could post that in there, please do so. I see a caller on here, but they don't have their hand up. If possible, if you could press 1 or announce yourself in the chat room. I have had no luck whatsoever getting anything to screen. Ah, okay, we got a hand up here. So I'm bringing on, this is 763, you're on the air.
You'll never guess who this is, Ketter.
Well, Janice. Sir,
well, Ketter.
Oh. Hello.
How are y'all doing?
We are doing.
I like that word. I like that word, y'all. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
the energies of these last couple of weeks, for me, I've been, like Ketter said, I've been really shutting off the news and stuff like that. I was actually told not to listen to that garbage, if you know what I mean by told.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll
tell
you,
it's probably good that you're not listening to it.
I mean, I'm aware of stuff going on, but I already know my limit of influence right now. I was also advised to take up bowling to learn how to control energy. And if any of you know me as well as I think you know me, you'll know that I'm full of energy.
I am so envious of your energy, it's not even funny.
So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of weightlifting and yoga, and a lot of people have noticed, you know, people have been wondering what the heck I'm doing. You know, I used to be against healthy eating and exercise. Well, I said, well, you know why? The idea was given to me in a light where it was benefiting someone else and not me, where I was being used as a poster child, so to speak. But I was reminded by this contact that that certain beings on a planet that I have not enough time in this broadcast to explain the background of were very mindful of taking care of their body and their body intelligence. And it had nothing to do with, you know, social services, yada, yada, yada.
Or the cult of the gym, you know, the people that work out and they have to have their physique just so.
The cult of the gym, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, the cult of the gun show, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's more about cleansing out, like clearing your body.
Because the guide who was contacting me told me that I needed to get rid of some junk and do it now. Now,
mm-hmm.
Like, affirm now.
Well,
awesome.
You know what, it makes it so much easier, too, for you to maintain when you can actually, because the food and, you know, the chemicals and stuff around us.
Yeah,
really
I know all about that. Don't worry, I know all about the food chemicals and the garbage they're putting in while they're rubbing their hands together and they're snickering.
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you what, the one thing I would tell anybody to get, if there was one thing, is reishi mushroom tea. That's like one of the best
I think I know where to get that, so I'll see what I can do about nabbing that. So, that's what I've been doing, and like I said, it's to learn how to control energy, and I don't think I was told to behave myself there. I think it means that I'm going to play a role in something where I'm going to be directing energy at something, and I need to be able to direct it in a manner to where I'm productive and I'm serving others, which is always epic, by the way.
Your body is your instrument. So the better,
exactly.
Better condition
you keep
it. My
body is my power outlet. Yeah.
And the more familiar you are with its interfaces, the better you're going to be able to operate. And that's true for anybody.
Yeah, and that's also what I was told. That's exactly what I was told. Be mindful of my body intelligence. That's what the contact told me. I'm like,
and you do
body
have
intelligence?
Huh? And you do have it. Even I have it. And I'm like the original person who just about basically didn't come into the body. I sort of rode over it most of my life.
Well, now I'm being told to utilize it, basically.
Well, I think that's probably very good advice for all of us, actually.
Dispensing it. That's the whole point. I'm trying to serve others here. That's why I came back from, you know.
I was going to say, and it's teaching you how to channel energy. And maybe whether or not you ever actually project it, you know, that doesn't really matter so much as it is how you channel it within your being. And where it's going. So, awesome.
So I kind of resonate with what Dixie's talking about, but in a different light. And I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going down locally that I've been told just to shut off.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happens to you is going to happen to you. Shut it off. Don't worry about it.
That's right. Yeah.
Give it to God. Move on.
That's right.
Source is going to put you where you need to be.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole thing. And like I was telling Keter Magic, a.k.a. Keter Cat, in a conversation the other day, I've been learning how to do, as in the D-U.
For those who may not know what that is, do, D-U, is actually the Anunnaki word. It does mean do, like it does in English, only it means do to completion. Finish what you start. and do it perfectly.
And then hand it off to source or God or whatever you want to refer to the divine.
And then stop doing it when you're done, because some people keep
exactly.
going.
Exactly, yeah.
No one quit.
Do it, finish it, and then stop and move on to the next whatever.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with intuition, which is alien to a lot of the people that I'm around most of the time.
Let me just
but
say,
I've got
I have
it,
my own problem knowing when to quit.
Huh?
One of my big lessons just recently has been knowing when to quit and knowing when something is mine to do. Forget the fact that I can do it or even that I can do it better than anybody else around me. Sometimes it's not mine to do. Sometimes I got to step
exactly,
out of the way and let somebody else do it.
You know,
yes.
That's what you mentioned earlier in the show when I was, you know,
yes.
when I was lying in my bed, taking it all in, you know, trying to work with what I was given, which is getting easier for me, despite the fact that things are getting interesting where I live.
Yeah. That'll work
again,
out.
Same thoughts, too. Just because I would always want to do everything.
But yeah, yeah.
Myself,
isn't
but
it weird though
not...
that things are getting easier to deal with,
yeah,
despite the fact that things are getting hectic?
Better.
That's right.
Because
and we understand
you're understanding.
We're not. I can't do everything. I have to let other people do some things because it's their part to do, not mine. And
exactly, because we all have our, you know, we all have our specialties.
Yeah, that's the nuts and bolts.
The nuts and bolts. I like that analogy, by the way.
The boat together, and the other one holds the other end of the boat together.
yeah, and it's basically, that's, you know, that's the true oneness, the unity. You know, that's the global blah, blah, blah that they talk about in its true form.
Yeah.
Oh, those words just make me want to vomit into a bucket. But
yeah.
that right there is the true oneness. It's not the vomit into a bucket oneness.
Yeah.
Although that's rather homogenous sometimes.
Exactly.
That's not the kind of thing that we need to be doing. Oneness in purpose would be good. Oneness in
love
that's a good would
idea.
Be good.
Oh, love. I heart love.
But we don't need to be identical, do we?
No, we're not.
It's required that we
that's
not.
Exactly why we were engineered like this, because if we were all identical, it'd be boring as hell.
Yeah, and brittle. The system would be brittle, because if it broke one part of the system, it would break every part
It would
of
break
the
entire part of the system. Yeah, I
exactly.
That sounds like a programming metaphor to me.
Yeah, that's actually, that's called requisite diversity.
Yeah.
And that was something that was come up, that was a theory that was brought up by, I believe he was a Brazilian, I'm not absolutely certain, scientist by the name of Humberto Maturana. And his colleague, Ilya Prigogine, who was a mathematical genius. And they did quite a bit of work on studying that, particularly that math is used in studying ecosystems and whether or not there's sufficient biological diversity in an ecosystem for it to be self-sustaining.
Which leads me to Ketter's famous speech to me about the problem with peaches.
What was the problem with peaches? I'm sorry, I'm not remembering this.
Peaches equal cats, by the way, people. I live with a very interesting roommate who calls cats peaches.
It's kind of stuck.
The problem with peaches is if they get into an ecosystem, they tend to hunt down everything else.
That's true. And that's one reason why there's a fellow out there who writes a lot about the Anunnaki, but he also writes about the Anunnaki and how they take their cats everywhere. I can guarantee you that no space-traveling race will take a cat, a terrestrial cat, with them, because anytime you introduce domestic cats into an ecosystem where they have not existed before, they absolutely destroy that ecosystem and they extinct everything on the island, for example.
Well, because we're meant to be hunters and scavengers. That's just what we do.
then you're very, 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 very good at it.
Well, like so, Dixie was saying, everyone has, you know, their place, the nuts and the bolts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you have to, but again, remember what I was saying earlier, that stuff that's out of its proper place is stuff we sometimes refer to as being evil, not because
yes,
the thing
exactly.
itself is evil, but because it's in the wrong place. And it's because it's in the wrong place, it's performing its function, but its function is out of alignment from what it should be.
Just promise me that you'll take me along when you go space traveling. I'm not necessarily a full cat.
No, you half cats can come.
Awesome. All right. I'll tell that to certain other contacts.
You still have to make the list, and I'm not the one that's building the list. So, you know, being nice to me doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get on it, unfortunately.
I'll find a way. I'll find a way to get on. I happen to be very stealthy.
I'm sure
you are. You're aware of that, Ketter. You're very aware of that.
I know.
You're talking to an individual who can write a concerto, which is a three movement piece of music based on three repeating notes.
He actually did this. I heard it. It's awesome. It's amazing. This thing needs to really be. Somebody needs to do something cool with that. But
well, if it's not
I'm
me,
not,
then somebody else can pick it up. But I've driven my. My local occupants insane with that song.
Yeah. I'm guessing. But the full orchestral version of it would really rock.
Well, yeah, I know exactly how that would work. But anyway, yes. So the discussion about evil being really out of place functionality reminded me of Ketter's speech about peaches.
Okay. That's about right. Now, Dream Master in the chat room has been threatening to call in, and he hasn't done it yet. So I'm thinking that he ought to call in if he wants to talk. So hint, hint,
exactly.
Dream Master,
so,
call in.
Yes, please
don't
do
talk
call
about
in.
It, do
I'm,
it.
Yes, D-U it.
D-U it, yep.
I guess I'll let you guys go so you can take a Dream Master's call, but I had a pleasant stay popping up out of nowhere and manifesting into your show.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you did call in. Thank you. You're always welcome.
And I will speak to you later, Ketter Cat.
I will be around.
Love and light to all. Just don't get married. See ya.
That's often better advice than we think it is. Okay. I'd like to take this opportunity here to answer a question that was asked in my alien friend's Skype chat. I'm going to read the question. I'm going to answer it the best I can. Now, I haven't really prepped for it, so just take it as it comes. Do you believe an alien force is assisting or fighting against the Illuminati? I'm relatively sure that there is one group that has established what we refer to as the Illuminati. I believe that particular faction probably was doing it for the purpose of maintaining their control over the human population in this world for when they were able to come back and take over again. They wanted to have their slaves and their sycophants and their followers, and they did not want to have sovereign humans to deal with. And that particular segment of the alien agenda was actually presented itself as being very large, and actually was very small, proportionally speaking, of all the races, and even within the two races that were involved, and those would be the Anunnaki and the reptilians, and there may have been a third one, but I'm not clear on who that was at this point. They were actually a very small minority of those races. They just happened to be the vocal minority that we saw the most of. As far as fighting against, yes and no. It has not been a direct fight. All right. Now, I don't understand the entire exopolitics of what happened. So I can't really speak as an authority on that. But I can tell you what I've been able to figure out from studying this for a while and talking to some of the entities that were involved in it. And that is that a deal was made to leave humans alive, to not destroy this planet, and to let the humans have a chance to dig themselves out of the hole, which we are now doing. All right? And let me tell you, without going into the gory details of the politics that went on with that, it was a bloody miracle we got that much done. And one of the conditions was that we had to give humans their own way of their own way on this planet. In other words, there could not be too much direct interference. And that has actually been broken a couple of times. There has been some direct interference. It's been broken by both sides. And at the end of the day, when we are ready and when we fulfill the conditions that were set for our evolution and our awareness and our basically our becoming sovereign and understanding what that really means, then we are fit to petition for assistance to get rid of those elements that have been a problem, and to help us clean up the mess that's going to be left. We can see the mess as we look around, the polluted world, the economic system that doesn't work, etc. We can petition for help getting that cleaned up, and that will be provided. This is not a war in terms of swords of light or even, you know, UFOs battling each other in outer space necessarily, although that has occurred. It's not something that is something we need to be concerned in as human beings. as far as fighting something that needs to stop, period. And that means us and that means them, both. We have to find our right places in this universe and our right alignments. What I said about evil being something not in its right place, it's coming from a positive motivation. It has something that it wants to do or to protect. Mm-hmm. We have to find out what that core thing is and answer it and get those individuals into their correct niche in the universal ecosystem of which we are all part. And we only when we get that done will there be peace. And that is something that we humans are very much participating in, because when we heal ourselves and we heal our conflicts, we inherited these conflicts from everywhere. We are so much a part of Source, so closely connected to Source. We have so much God consciousness that we have unconsciously picked and in some cases had dumped on us, but unconsciously also we have picked up bits and pieces of unsolved conflicts from all of creation, all time periods, all locations, all races. And we are sorting through them. So,
yeah.
When we heal our conflicts, we heal theirs too. Dixie, you were talking?
I love that. I'm sorry I interrupted that last line because that was perfect. about the healing of conflicts. We heal our conflicts, we heal theirs too. It's so true.
I kind of stole your idea there. Sorry.
No, just you and I are on the same, we're like right parallel to each other here. So that's great. I think that it would be, if you can, a good time to play the Crowded House song, because it's very pertinent to kind of the last couple of weeks and the information that we've been.
I'm going to go ahead and play that, and when we come back, Dream Master is on the line, and we'll take his call, okay? We're going to play right now. It's going to be Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. Back, and I'm going to go ahead and bring on Dream Master. You're on the air. Uh-oh. Your Skype is not good.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So you can hear me now?
Yeah, it's kind of coming and going, but go ahead.
Was it? Okay. How you doing? Hi, Dream Child. How you doing, Peter? Yeah, with what you were all talking about is awesome and tremendous and wonderful. Now, please tell me if I'm going to, you know, I don't want to lose anybody any time quick and fast or anything like that. But, you know, we were mentioning Anunnaki, you know, the reptilians. You know, there's no mention of Syrians, Palladians, Turians, whatnot, or so forth. And in fourth, the entities, how they are manipulating 3D physical individuals, being ourselves. And of course, you know, there are some that are working in a higher vibration and ascending, if not with those that have already ascended, and the ones that are coming right into the fold per se, and how all these energies are shifting all over the place right now, and how we are reacting to them, and how do we really know our stand. And where we belong in fitting into this whole grand scheme of things, I find is right, go ahead.
I was going to say, kind of getting a long list of things to talk about there.
Yeah.
The first thing is, I only can speak to those things that I have personal experience of. And the experience that I have had with other races has been limited. And I can speak only to the events that occurred and my perceptions of them. All right? So I'll tell you this. If they are here, they are not, categorically not, ascended, because they wouldn't be here. Their interest would not be here if they were.
Right.
And they certainly wouldn't be taking physical forms here if they were.
Right. I was talking about
that. Doesn't mean they're bad,
right? No, I understand that. I'm talking about the individual people that we are in 3D, like our physical human form, where that, you know, we are vibrating at a higher frequency, where that we are transcending, I believe, truthfully, wholly, that we are transgressing 4D completely. We have been living side by side with 4D for so long, for so many centuries, and now we've gone to time where the energy, you know, conscious vibration has become so heightened that we, as 3D forms, existing in human vessels, are being really affected by the universal conscious energy. And 4D, there, okay. Let me step back here for a second, please. You know, sure, 4D entities, there are positives and negatives, right? You want to talk about good and bad, this and that and the other thing. Ones that want to control, that are ego-based. You know, we can talk about Anunnaki all night. You know, we can talk about Turians. You know, we can talk about how the Atlanteans have been influenced. You know, we can talk and talk and talk about all this stuff. But it is what it is. And we are here where we are right now. And allowing... and again, I don't like people's the energies that are trying to usurp the energy that through individual soul.
I'm going to have to stop you here for a second because let your Skype clear up a little bit because we're hearing like every third word. I want to answer a couple of things really quickly, if I could. That is, the first thing I'd like to say is I do not ever want to get into a conversation about comparing my vibration as higher than your vibration.
Right.
Because that is just elitism in a new form. We all ascend together. We are all part of Source. Those are the only two things that are the criteria for who is better than whom. And guess what? Nobody's better than anybody else.
Nobody is better than anybody else.
Who are in better alignment than others. Let's not use that as a way of judging either. So really quickly, I just wanted to throw that one in there. And hopefully your Skype is now better.
Right. Okay.
Can I ask you to try calling back in? Because we really just cannot understand you.
All right. I'll try.
I'm sorry about that. If you would call back in, please. And that to anybody, but when somebody's cutting out that badly, it doesn't serve anybody any good to leave them on. Hopefully when he calls back, his connection will be better.
I liked what you were saying there, though, that nobody's better than anybody else.
Yeah.
It's not about who's higher or anything like that. It's just about where you are at your time, because we're all from Source. So we are all beautiful, shining stars. It's just, wherever we have to be at the moment.
And I'll tell you, it's another thing to look for. Have you ever known a Tibetan monk or somebody, a really well-connected, well-centered being who was a Dharma Lama? Seriously.
Right.
There's no such thing.
Exactly.
All right?
Yeah.
So look at where drama is in the world. And I can guarantee you that there's going to be a lower vibration associated with that. There's going to be some kind of a misalignment associated there. There's a good intention. Let's find what the good intention is and feed that without feeding the negativity and the drama. And that's where a lot of this fear-mongering is coming from. The fear-mongering has a basis in a really positive intention, the positive intention being that they want people to be aware, they want people to protect themselves. The misalignment is they are feeding more fear and they are giving ammunition to those who would use fear as control, and they're causing distraction that's going to keep people from actually doing the things they need to do to protect themselves and hearing the messages that they need to protect themselves. So how do we feed that positive intention to make sure that people are awake and aware without feeding the fear? And that's through understanding and awareness. Know what you're seeing when you're watching the news. Learn when to turn the news off.
Yeah.
So
I heard something a while ago that basically said, you're going to be told a lot of stuff over, through the news and stuff in the coming year or so, and most of it's not true.
I'm reading in the chat here. Dramanuki. I think it's supposed to be Drama and Anunnaki conjoy. And yes, there are, actually. There absolutely are a few that are like that.
Yeah. There is everywhere.
All.
There's always some.
There is
somewhere.
Everywhere. There are individual variations within all of the species, and it's absolutely marvelous, because if there weren't, we would never be able to talk to each other. We would never be able to relate to each other's experiences or realities. We have to connect on the edges, on the fringes of things, the long tail of the experience. And the more experience that we have collectively as a species, the more richly we can integrate with other species and within our own experience here, within our own species. So thank goodness for the differentiations within populations.
Exactly. It's like variety is the spice of life.
Yes. It's requisite diversity. We're back to that theme again.
Yeah. Exactly.
So.
and you know what? Actually, I had this thought the other day. It was kind of along these lines, but I was like, you know, how does an omnipresent, omnipotent, you know, everything being learn something? Well, you learn through experience. And how do you learn through experience when you are so vast? Well, you have to experience everything, right?
I think source is mining the depths and the richness and the details of all of these experiences that we're having. We have these experiences to contribute to that common knowledge base that's being formed as we go through these experiences. And so people are talking about, you know, when all of this is over, then we're going to be transcending the experience. No, we're not. We are totally not. We're taking it to a new level. We're
right.
becoming more open. We're going to have a larger scope that we understand and are capable of dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away. Experience is the baseline of this beingness that we are.
That's right. Otherwise, what's the point of being here?
Dream Master is back on the line, and we're going to bring him back on. Dream Master, one more time. Hopefully your Skype's better.
Ketter, how you doing? Hello?
Oh, much better. Yay!
Okay. Thanks. Hi, Dream. How you doing? Can you hear me now?
Yep. We can hear you.
Okay, yay. Yay. No, I... thanks. No, I just wanted to mention, and thanks, Dream. well, thanks, Ketter, for bringing Dream on tonight. And I feel this is important, that we are sharing our experiences right now, and this is what it's really all about, is sharing what we are experiencing. This is what being human is. And there is, and I forget the gentleman that posted earlier about fear-mongering or whatnot, but no, we're not, there's no one that is fear-mongering. If anybody is going to be fear-mongering, it's going to be the ones, the powers that be, that try to take our sovereignty away from ourselves. And I did want to mention some of the insights or experiences that I have experienced lately in regards to fourth, fifth, sixth, beyond dimensional entities. And you know, I was in a show earlier and someone had asked me, well, who are these entities? I don't work with these entities. So I try to step it back. And it's and like Dream was mentioning, and you as well, Ketter, was mentioning, you know, do not fear, trust, and do not blame, do not judge, do not hate. Hate is something that I just will not work with, and just be within all, and be within nature, and appreciate, respect. Because nature does communicate with us in all the manners that it has to communicate with us with. And, you know, I can go further and further and further on this, and Ketter, you know me on this. It's just, you know, like, where do you want me to go now? Because I can go from here to from here to the next plane. You know, I see a lot of attacking going on. I see a lot of energies going on and changing and shifting, and it can become overwhelming, certainly. And again, for those that, and again, I really dislike, you know, putting anybody in any kind of category or whatnot. But ones that are. You know, just really beginning to feel all the vibrations and all the energy that is occurring right now in oneness. You know, awesome, fantastic. You know, this is where to experience. And as human beings, I feel that that we are truly quite unique. Where there are ancient civilizations, of course, and they're looking at us right now, learning from us in how we interact with each other. And sure, there are power struggles, you know, between, you know, I will say and go as far as to say is, you know, for the... beings, you know, trying to manipulate our 3D plane. And this is not to be involved in. You know, this is drama. And, yeah, they're not supposed to interfere with our outcomes, per se. Leave
it's for
it
us to tell them to stop.
Yes. Yes.
We set the limit. We're the sovereigns. This
yes.
is our place.
Yes.
They only have the power that we give them.
Yes. Exactly. You know, exactly. You know, and like you were saying, Dream, do not fear. Right? We are within ourselves, and we know who we are within Source. And know this. And they do not have any power over us. As we are within ourselves, within Source. You know, and this is where they have no control whatsoever over us in any means. You know, and live that and know that, if that makes sense.
We inoculate ourselves by claiming our own power. Once we claim our own power, it can't be taken away from us.
It cannot.
You can kill somebody, but you're not going to take their power away, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to come right back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important when we have these steps up, like you and I were talking about, you know, this new way of dealing with the old problems, because that's what we're doing, is taking our power back. We're not reacting. We're not spending time in fear and feeding the fear vampires, because we've taken our power back and are able to, you know, come from a centered space instead.
We have 12 minutes left, and I see Marcus, Healing for Inner Peace, is on the line. I'm going to go ahead and bring him into the mix so that we can close out the show at the with a good conversation here.
Yeah,
and Marcus.
Oh, Namashivaya, how's our connection? Or do I need to call in for myself?
We're good.
You're good. Marcus, how you doing, man?
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Dixon. So this is definitely a great combination. All of us have very unique and special talents, and we're co-creating together with the collective group of all the live listeners as well as the archive listeners.
Awesome.
This is what extended family and co-creation is all about.
This is it, man.
And what's really great about this is that I see many that are in other parts of the world and different countries, not just here in the United States and Canada. And that's great to see. I love it.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome, Mark. And Ketter, I have another friend here, too, that I'm sure you know of. Christian Rosamilla is 626, and she's called in, too. I don't know if you
I just put her on. She didn't have her hand up.
Oh. Okay. Because if you... Yeah, I would love to hear this conversation.
Kristen, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I didn't have my hand up. I'm sorry, I pressed the number one twice. I guess it didn't work.
Oh, rat. Sorry.
You got to watch that repetition. It doesn't always work.
Dennis, I'm sorry. I hate to admit this, but I cannot remember where I know you from, and I know I've talked to you before.
We've talked many times.
I thought so.
Yeah. Well, you know, hence the name. I do a lot of dream work and a lot of astral, quote-unquote, astral travel work or whatever. I call it outer dimensional planning. But we've talked many times.
Not in person, have we?
Oh, yeah. Well, not face-to-face, no.
Okay, that's what I meant, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I remember seeing your name in chat all over the place, but I could, for some reason I couldn't get a handle on a face or anything else to go with it. Anyway, I think this is a wonderful chat. I'm happy to be part of it now, too. And I think what Dixie, I've never heard your voice before either. It's a treat. Only on your own radio show, but not just talking in a chat like that, you know. So,
thank you.
Yeah. But I think all the things you guys are talking about are really important. And I see it moving beyond where we come to be able to communicate through the heart. And moving into a place where there's no longer a need for the ego to rule the way that we behave. That's the vision that I've been holding for most of my life. And it sounds like you guys are getting there, so I'm really pleased to be hearing it. And thank you for including me in the conversation.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. Thank you. If I may say, Ketter, before we close off, and again, Dream Child, thank you for Ketter for having you on, her on. I've been really excited about this for quite some many months. My friends in my outer dimensional realm have been showing me and been setting up schools and showing me their communities and their worlds where that we are a part of and that there are big changes going on in this planet and on this earth right now. And they, my friends, want us all to be a part of. And when we hold ourselves in ego, when we hold ourselves in fear and in doubt and in judgment and in unknowing, per se, the earth is not going to, we can only do so much. The earth is going to still shift within the universe, within our galactic body, per se. And when it does, it's gonna change anyway, regardless of how consciously connected we are. And when it does, my friends, they want us to be together as much as we can be, and we have that within ourselves to do that. And it's not up to the universe; it's up to us individually, as a collective, to be one within. In this 3D here and now. I just wanted to say that real quick. That's okay. Which I think I just did.
You did indeed. thank you so much. We're closing up on the end of the show here. Any closing remarks, Dixie?
I was just hoping that we could end the last minute of the show with that Mirrors audio that I sent you, because it's really great. You know, all of us sharing here and experiencing what's going on in each other's lives and in the collective, and to know that we are mirrors of each other, and in knowing that, it can really help us to get through a lot of our fears and a lot of things that, the collective is showing us, because it's, our reflection. It's our reflection to see where we need work still and how to get through that. And that last audio it really says it quite clearly in a very eloquent way.
Okay, that sounds good. We will go ahead and end the show with that.
And thank you so much for having me on, Ketter.
Thank you for calling in, Kristen. You should do it more often. Definitely welcome here.
Sorry, I was muted. Marcus, thank you, hon.
Thank you as well. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show here with a little remark. Somebody's got their... I'm going to put somebody on mute here. I think it's Kristen that's doing it. There we go. Sorry about that, Kristen. I put you on mute because I was hearing myself. I can't talk over myself. Just close out with a little bit of a remark here at the end, and that is that we all are going to ascend together. We all came from Source. We all return to Source. What we take back with us is always of value. It doesn't matter whether you spent most of the time here fighting the good fight, quote-unquote, and living in the light, quote-unquote, or whether you fell into error. It's still experience, and it's still information, and data is data, okay? So it really doesn't matter. When we get all back together, it's going to be a big party, and everything is going to be okay. So just think about that as you approach the thoughts that some people want to put in your mind about what the end of the world is going to be like, what 2012 is going to be like, Armageddon is going to be like. Those are models that maybe aren't so useful anymore because they are useful only to certain agendas. They're not useful necessarily to truth, and they're not necessarily useful to sovereignty because we have to pass through sovereignty because before we can get to where we're supposed to be, which is co-creation. I was listening into a show that was done by Barbara Marks Hubbard this afternoon, and she was talking about going directly into co-creation, and I was like, no, wait a minute, you're skipping a step. You have to become sovereign. You have to be in control, full control of yourself before you can hope to step into co-creation, because if you are not in full control of yourself, then what you're going to go out and do random things and not even realize it and make a mess. So it's very important that we go ahead and take the time to take that step into sovereignty if we can at this point. Because the next step after that is going to be even bigger. Because then we will be in the position where we are going to be creating people and worlds and opportunities to be and to have experiences similar to what we are now. That is so huge. You can't even really get your mind around it. So just take your time. Don't get into too much of a hurry. Be at peace. Enjoy the experience as you can. And don't play anybody else's game. Play only your own game. You're it. All right? You're the only you there is. And try not to get in anybody else's game. Try not to mess up anybody else. That's what free will is about. Because everybody has their role to play. And you, if you're playing your role, you're not in somebody else's way. And you're not telling them what to do. And you're not making it impossible for them to fulfill what they're supposed to do. Because we're all on one team. If you're on one team, do you trip up your own players? No. You help them get to the goal. So let's pretend like we're all on the same team, even if sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And let's try to get everybody to the goal. And with those words, we're coming up right on the end of the show. And I'm going to go ahead and play that little clip that Dixie had. This is the mirror, and I believe the person who's speaking it, her name may be Deborah Winger.
We are the mirror as well as the face in it. We are tasting the taste this minute of eternity. We are pain and what cures pain both. We are the sweet cold water and the jar that pours. I want to hold you close like a lute so we can cry out with loving. You would rather throw stones at a mirror? I am your mirror, and here are the stones.
Sweet. Y'all have a great week. Manifest your truth. Much love.